Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Mercadini. I'm filling in for Deacon Armstrong. He has a thing to have to do tonight. So I want to talk to you this evening. I want to talk to you about sowing seeds and sowing seeds. So we're going to get started. I mean, I'm not a country girl. I grew up in a city, but I was born in a country. So just bear with me on the sowing seeds and stuff. Okay? To sow a seed is to scatter on the ground. You just toss seeds around on the ground. And you dare to nurse the seeds. You had to water them. You had to maneuver around them and put sticks and stuff to make sure they're stable, depending on the type of seeds, like tomatoes. So just know that there's so many different things you have to do when you sow on a seed. And when you're sowing, you're not reaping a seed, you're just sowing. You're not gathering a seed, you're just sowing. You're just planting a seed. Based upon how to gain a good crop, you must tend to them at all times. Water and have a good soil is a must for your seeds. You must tend to the seeds. You must tend to the plants every day. They need attention to grow. I say all this to let you know that to have salvation, you must do the same thing. We have to tend to our salvation. We can't say we got salvation and leave it alone. We have to tend to it. We have to do the things plausible to having a good salvation and to grow in salvation. Know that sometimes if you don't tend to your seed, which is your salvation, if you don't tend to it, you'll get in trouble because you won't know what to do. You'll lack on stuff, you'll slack on my Lord, you won't know exactly what to do. So just tend to your seeds according to the way my Lord wants you to attend to them. And know that for certain that whenever you tend to them, you water them, feed them, because some seeds you had to feed. So you had to feed the seeds. So, you know, you had to water the seeds so they'll grow. And in growth, in spirituality, there are many different aspects. You can have a great crop that have all the buds blooming. You can have a poor crop that doesn't. In spirituality, you can do things to nurture and tend to your salvation, to honestly tend to the way you do things, what you say, your actions. Everything speaks according to the way you do things. So just know that whenever you send attention to your salvation, you have to make sure that you do things in the right order, in the right way. So just know that sowing your seed, which is your salvation, You got to put down good seeds in order to have a good crop. And your crop will be your blessings. Blessings come in many forms and fashions. But know that if you're not sowing good seeds, you will not get a good crop. And then you also have to know that seed time is different in every aspect when it comes to actual seeds. You know, watermelon is a summer, not winter. You know that corn is a spring and not winter. You know that there's so many different kinds of seeds that you can grow out there. That is one specific to each season that we have here. However, anytime you sit planting seeds in my glorious my Lord, it now is the best time to do it. Right now, once you start planting, it will take off in a good way if you plant seeds of kindness, love, and goodwill. The harvest will flourish, abundant blessings, and goodwill. But if you sow seeds of deceit, evilness, anger, and despair, your plant won't come up. They will die if you sow on bad seeds to start with, they will not grow. But if you do it good and it starts growing and then you change your page, you change yourself, then the seeds will definitely die whenever the plant will definitely die. So know that when you're planting good seeds, you'll have a good crop, which means you'll have a good blessing. But whenever you're doing bad seeds, you won't have a crop at all, and you won't have any blessings. So understand that in theology, you have to know how to rectify your actions and how to deal with it. You have to repent. You have to ask for forgiveness. You have to pray. You have to be good to everybody. I don't care how mad they make you or how bad they are to you. We still have to do good, no matter what. So let's look at people through the Bible that have done good. See Job. Job was an upright man. Let's talk about Job 1 and chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared my God and eschewed evil. So he started out in a very good way. And then let's look at David. 1 Samuel 16, chapter 16, verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of my Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So David started out, whenever he became king, he was doing real good. He had a mistake, but his mistake cost him a little bit. It cost him his son, but he got over it. He prayed through it. So he did good. Let's look at Noah from Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. And he says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of my Lord." So Noah, he was chosen because he was a good man. My Lord seen the seeds that he sowed, and the seeds that he sowed were good, so he was chosen. Now let's look at Joseph from Genesis chapter 39, verse 2. "And my Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of the master in the Egyptians." Joseph was sold from his brothers because his brothers was jealous. They didn't like him because he was their father's favorite, but they sold him out of jealousy because he was a dreamer. Joseph was a dreamer, and he could interpret dreams. So that's why he ended up in Egypt. And that's how the whole 12 tribes ended up in Egypt, was because the brothers sold Joseph into the Ishmaelites, and the Ishmaelites took him to Egypt and sold him to Potiphar. So now let's look at the bad seeds. Delilah was Samson's pick. He loved Delilah, but she was so-so. Delilah, it says, Judges 16 and 18, and it says, and when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, "Come up this once, for he has shown me all his heart." Then the lords of Philistines came up and gave it to her, and bought money into her hand. So Delilah was not doing good because she tricked him. So they put her on my Lord's bad list. So she sowed some really bad seeds. Potiphar's wife, Potiphar bought Joseph. So his wife took a liking to Joseph. So she was on his case trying to get him to be with her. And we look at Genesis 38 and 39 and 12, and he reads, "And she caught him by his garment, saying, 'Lie with me.' And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out." So whenever she realized that he had left his garment in her hands, she cried bloody murder. She was like, "This Hebrew came in to affront me." And so they threw him in jail for prison. And so with Joseph being in prison, he found favor among all the prisoners, among all the leaves, he found favor because he was a good man. And my Lord was true to help him out. Okay, let's come down to Jonah. Jonah chapter 4, verse 3. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Okay, let's look at that. Jonah was mad because the people actually listened to him. He did pay attention to the fact that they listened to him, and they reverted to a better cause. They went into fasting and praying, and they changed their ways. So my Lord sent it, and he was like, okay, well, that's the way, so let me not do this. So Jonah, he was so mad. He was crying and upset. He could not think straight, and he was like, Lord, take my life because I don't want to live because you let them live. So that was pretty mean. That was awful because you don't say, take my life because somebody else is living. You just deal with it. You pray, and you ask God to help you with it, but you just pray and you ask and you stop being so angry because my Lord changed his mind. But my Lord told him to go. It's not like he went himself. My Lord told him to go. So he just decided to take things upon himself. And then whenever he started crying and upset, that was the coup de grace. It's crazy. Because why would you be upset because people listen to you? You got the right word out. You said what was right. And you did understand why they was in the shape that they were in, that they were doing good. You didn't understand that they could change, but you was crying because they did change. So understand that change is a part of life. And whenever you change, when you change your direction, you change your circumstances, your surroundings, things change for you if you do it for the better. Because there's always doing for the worse, and there's always doing for the better. When you do for the better, you'll see a tremendous change around your life. Things will come up, things will happen that are good things for you. If you change for the bad, which is sowing bad seeds, you won't get anywhere. It will be all a fluke, and it will not work out. The plants will die. Your soul will die. Your soul will be left in hell because you don't have any gumption to get up and say, Lord, help me. You got to say, Lord, help me. You got to say, Lord, I'm leaning, trusting, and dependent on you because you are my faithful, you are my true Lord, and I love you and I honor you, and just help me to be what you want me to be. Not what I want to be, but what you want me to be. Just know that whenever you do things like that, my Lord is listening. He's taking heed to what you're saying, and you start doing the things that are representative to what you're saying. You'll start seeing the things start happening. The changes that will occur. Changes will occur when you do and be honest with you. You have to be honest. No matter what, you know, my Lord knows our hearts. He knows our hearts from inch to inch. He knows everything about our hearts. So he knows if we're being truthful. He knows if we're lying. So we have to be truthful and honest to him because he is our director. He is our redeemer. He is our strength. He is our fortress, he is our rock, he is our tower, he is our everything. He does any and everything for his children. Nothing is lack, nothing is lack. He does every single thing, no matter what it is. We may stumble, but if we don't stay down on the ground, he'll help us. We ask him to help us up. Lord, please help me get up. And that's like just sowing a seed. You put it in and don't tinker it, it'll just not do anything. But you start cultivating the ground, it'll start working, it'll start growing, and it'll start maneuvering to be what you want it to be. And that's how my Lord is. You have to maneuver and work the way my Lord wants you to work. Not doing it just for me, not doing it just for you, just do it for you. Do it for yourself and do it to please my Lord. Because when we please my Lord, that is a benefit. It's not a bad thing. It's a great thing. To please my Lord, you get major benefits. You actually get a whole lot of your wants. Because whenever you do it for my Lord, he will in turn do for you. You have your needs met, that's fine. but you start getting your wants, like the new car, the new house, a new job, and still a job that you're not even qualified for, he will open the door for you to get that job just because you're doing what he wants you to do. We got to be faithful to him. We got to trust him. And above all, we got to be honest and true and not to disrespect him and not to just do anything to anybody. We got to treat our fellow men like we want them to treat us. So whenever we do it, in turn, we do what our Lord wants us to do, and that's to be good to others. Then that's the good things that come back to us for true, whole, and complete. You don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to do anything. You just got to be a good person, and you got to be honest. You got to be true. You got to do what is right in my Lord's eyes. You can't falter. You can't sway. You just got to keep going. If you stop the habits and you do falter, you know, you got to say, Lord, please forgive me. Please help me. I need your help. And don't falter and stay down there, because if you stay down there, you're lost. But the key is to get up, dust yourself off, and say, my Lord, please help me. I did wrong. Please forgive me. I need you right now. Please come to me, please. And he will come. He'll show up when you don't expect it. He'll show up when you need what you need. He'll show up. He will continuously show up for us, no matter. When we sow the good seeds, he will show completely. His faith in us and his direction in us, he will honor us. He will help us no matter what. We could fall down there. He will bring us back to life if it's not our time. Somebody could be shooting, and if it's not our time, the bullet will go right over your head or hit the ground. But if you're not doing what you need to do, the bullet might hit you somewhere. Because it's all in the things that we do, the things that we control that is pleasing to my Lord. We have to control the things around us. We can't be fussing. We can't be cussing. We can't be drugging. We can't be drinking. We have to be honest. We have to be true. And he don't want a slumpy drunk trying to be out there doing anything and then said, I'm a Christian. No, he wants you to be honest and true. He wants to be who you are. That's why he said, if you're lukewarm, he'll spew you out of his mouth. Because if you're hot, that's good, because he knows that you're all for him. If you're cold, he knows that that's good, because you're not for him. But if you're lukewarm, you try to straddle the fence. So don't straddle the fence. Be on one side or the other. It's all up to you. He gives us free will to do whatever we want to do. So our free will is all based upon what we choose to do ourselves. So we have to make a conscious effort to be able to live according to his perfect way, his perfect will, because the ultimate goal is to make it to the promised land. And not in Egypt, not in Israel. The promised land is heaven. Heaven is my promised land. So I'm living in order to live again. It won't be a human living, but it'll be a spiritual living. So it is life. No matter what, it's still life. So just know that whenever my Lord calls you home, calls us home, it will be a good time for those of us who chose my Lord. It will be a bad time for those who have not chosen my Lord and never took the time to choose him. Because we have time. The time is right now. We've got to maneuver and do the way we need to do to help my Lord and to do according to his will. We've got to spread the word. We've got to tell people about the Bible. We've got to tell people about my Jesus. We've got to tell people about my God. Because, I mean, we've got to spread the word and do according to his perfect will and his perfect way. No matter what, it's one thing for certain, two things for sure, that when we do those things, there's blessings coming. And the greatest blessing is our mansion. Because, I mean, we have houses here, but when we get to heaven, we're going to have a mansion. And we're going to have all the gold, the silver, the rubies, the onyx, the diamonds, everything is going to be right there with us for any of those things. But I have plenty when I get to heaven. So whoever wants to do it, come to heaven with me, because I'm going to be able to have it completely. It is amazing, too, how we do things when we have what we need, because we're always up to doing real good when we have everything we need or everything we want. But we have to be able to walk accordingly to my Lord, and those things will happen. When we saunter and when we sway, those things will happen because we're not being true. My Lord wants us to be true. No matter which side of the fence you're on, he wants us to be true. He knows that we are his children. He created us. He created us, and he blew his breath into us to give us a living soul. So know that he did that for us, to know that when we do it back to him, and to do it back to him is to live according to his perfect will, his perfect way, to do whatever he wants us to do. If he called you to teach his Bible, if he called you to preach his Bible, you must do it and not grumble, mother, and complain about it. You got to do it with a smile on your face and say, today's lesson is, my Lord gave me this lesson to tell you. So today my Lord gave me the message of sowing to tell each and every one of you to sow a good seed in order to get a good crop. You've got to be able to have a good crop so you can harvest your good crop. So when you're sowing your good seeds, you know your crop is doing good, because if you sow your good seeds, which is faith, trust, good will, good deeds, your crops are going to be, you plant flowers. The flowers are going to bloom. They're going to be strong. They're going to be brilliant. Their color's going to be pure. They're going to be good. But if you're wavering, the color may be dull. It may grow a little bit because you're wavering and it's not sure which side you're trying to be on. So you're wavering a little bit, so the crop may come through a little tiny bit. But it'll be dull and dry, and it won't be strong. It'll be weak. Then that's when you sow deceit. You sow lies. You sow distrust. You mistreat people. And you act up. Those things count. You have to know you've got to do honesty first. You've got to be honest. You got to be true. You can't lie. You can't cheat. You can't steal. You've got to be true. You can't do any of those things. You know, when you're out in the world, things are tempting. Or you're so hungry, you don't know what to do. So you go pick up a bar candy to eat. Now, those things are very forgivable because our Lord knows your situation. You may not call on him to help your situation, but he knows about it. So he's waiting for you to call out to him. So we have to, if we get into a situation, we need to call him. But if we're doing not a good thing, we need to tell him, we need to ask him to help us. Tell him, I did this wrong. Please help me. Please direct me. Please show me. I need your help, my Lord. Please just come to me and help me. But if you so-and-so over here, she had a bad rent. Or, you know, so-and-so's husband is going with the neighbor. I mean, just gossiping and sowing bad seeds, that's not a good thing. Those are bad seeds and they will not grow. Your crop will not be, cannot harvest a crop that is sown that is all bad. Deceit, cheating, stealing, lying, all that stuff, it will bring no crop at all. But if you come, may I give you a piece of bread? Can I give you a glass of water? Can I give you a sandwich? Can I give you $10 to buy you some food? Can I take you to the store? Can I drop you off at your job? Things like that. That is all good things. And that's all punishable with good deeds, but punishable with good crops. good crops will always bloom, but you are doing the best you can do and be faithful and true to it. And I say, well, I'll do it, then don't do it. Because if you say I'll do it, it's expecting of you to do it. My Lord is expecting you. You said I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. My Lord is expecting you to do it. So know that he is definitely looking at you. He's watching. He is observing everything that you do. Even though there's like 10 billion people in the world, he has time for each and every one of us. So know that he is always right here beside you. He's always with you. He's always seeing. He's always hearing. So never, never disconcern yourself with the crazy stuff. Just know that he's right there. He will protect you. He will enable you to get things. He will enable you to do things. Just know that he'll be right there with you no matter what. Just seek him and he'll be right there. Just don't start doing all the crazy stuff again because he will leave. And then it'll go a whole cycle over. You go, oh, what happened? What did I do? And then you start thinking, well, I wouldn't give this man a sandwich. I wouldn't give this child a sandwich. I would carry my neighbor to work. Their car broke, but I said, no, I can take to work. But I'm fine. I didn't have to be at work for you. And I had gas and I had everything that I needed. But then I did do what I needed to do. So it is unexpected when your crops say, oh, well, you didn't do it. So I'm not coming out. And if you think about it, when you start doing good and then you start doing bad, there is angels watching too. And you start getting out, sitting out places, they'll start calling back. They'll be like, no, they did this, this, and this. So, no, they don't get their blessing. So the job fell through. You couldn't get the car. The house fell through because of you. Not because of nothing but what you have done. You have to look at yourself honestly and say, what did I do? What did I do? What all did I do to cause this to happen? It wasn't my Lord. He was right there willing to do it. It was just, we changed our ways. And he's like, no, I can't do that now. So we have to be able to walk accordingly and be according to what my Lord wants us to be. To live accordingly, to act accordingly. Don't start saying, well, I'll do this, 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 and this, and never do it. Because that's not doing things according to the way my Lord wants us to do it. So,
amen.
Anyway, does anybody have any questions? Anybody have any comments?
Well, shalom, Margaret. Shalom.
Shalom.
Yeah, to God be the glory. I really appreciate your stepping in for me. We had family from out of town, and I was unable to start the ministry tonight, but you did well. I really, really appreciate you. You're always prepared. I thank God for that. You do give opportunity for all, okay? Thank you so much.
Uh-huh. Oh, you're so welcome. It's my pleasure.
Yes, yes, yes. You talked about planting seeds.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I had a couple of scriptures there. I was just thinking about it while you were talking. And let's see. What is that? I had a handful of them here. Let's see. Mm-hmm. Okay. Here we go. The Lord. Now, this is, I believe that this is in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 29:11. It says, for I know the plans. This is, of course, this is our Lord God. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Now, before we were even created, before even the foundation of the world, God had a plan for humanity. He had a plan for each and every one of us, individuals. And as we are born, and grow up in this world and in our lifetime, that he has a purpose for us, but we have to get to that point in order for that to connect. We have to get to that point, because if we don't, the plans that the Lord has for us, they're not going to be fulfilled. Some people, they're just going to skip right through life, and they're not going to plant any seeds, or the seeds that are already in them planted, they're not going to grow because nobody's watering them. Nobody's tending to them. Nobody's making sure they have the proper food, which should be the word of God. And they bear no fruit. They bear no fruit. But I understand that the seed must die for something to grow. And planting a seed in the ground. Now, there are different seasons for different seeds, my understanding. I'm not a farmer. I did a little something on the farm when I was younger, but I understand that you have to plant stuff in the right season. And see, with us human beings in our lifetimes, our lives, it's the right season the entire time that we're living. It's the time is right to plant a seed or to become a seed in life
with
somebody else's. Yes. So if we're dragging our feet, you know, and not planting the seed, and I wish this and I hope that, that's not going to bring anything to fruition, you know. It's just loose talk. There's no, there's nothing to the talk. It's just empty words. But as you said, planting a seed. There's a season for planting watermelons. There's a season for planting. I think there's a early corn and a later corn. I'm not sure, but there was a time for all these things, you know. And that takes me to that scripture. I believe that's Ecclesiastes. I'm not sure. I believe it's Ecclesiastes. There's a time for everything. Let me pull it up real quick. Give me a moment. I believe that it's Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 8 and 1. Ecclesiastes. Okay. Yeah, I believe it's 8 and 1. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Ecclesiastes 8 and 1. Okay.
I'm looking it
you
up, too.
It? You are?
No,
okay.
Not yet. I'm looking.
Yeah, okay. I believe it's 8 and 1. I'm not sure. Okay. No. Oh, God. Was it 1 and 8? It says somewhere. Wow. I'm a little lost. I hate to waste time like this, but I believe it's a very important scripture for all people.
It's Ecclesiastes 9 and 12.
Ecclesiastes?
No, it's not. Sorry. No, I'm sorry. I got the wrong one. I didn't read it completely.
No problem. No problem. Mm-hmm. No problem.
It says, Ecclesiastes 3:17 says, I said in my heart, my God should judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is time, is a time there for every purpose and for every work.
Amen. That's it. That's it. Mm-hmm. Ecclesiastes, what chapter?
The third chapter and 17th verse.
Third and 17? Okay, yeah. So we'll
start. 3:17.
Let's go closer to the beginning. Ecclesiastes 3 and 1. Let's start there for so far down. To everything, there's a season. In other words, there's nothing that God created that has no season. You know, there's a beginning and an end to everything. And there is a season, a time for every purpose under the sun, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Now, you wouldn't want to plant something and don't go back and pluck it up later on. So, in other words, you wouldn't want to go out there and you wouldn't want to plant a field of corn or soybeans and you don't go back out there to harvest them. When that time is right, that would make so to plant something.
But you have to go out there and tend to them and water them too.
That's right. That's right. And you have to make sure the weeds, just like my grandparents and my parents, my uncles and my aunts, my grandfather's farm, he grew cotton. He switched up crops, cotton, tobacco, peanuts, watermelons, cantaloupes. He grew a little bit of everything. But when they grew cotton, they would go out, they would chop cotton. In other words, they would chop the weeds from around the cotton stalks. And that was a hard job out there. You know, but it had to be done in order for the cotton to grow, and not the weeds to suck up the elements out of the soil, you know, or to choke the cotton out. You know, you can't have a crop and then you have weeds taking over. You know, you have to till the soil. You know, you have
that
to.
That is a tear. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's right. That's right. The wheat and the tares. That's right. That's why God's letting them grow together. There's no need in trying to root them out, because I'm pretty sure that the tares, I believe the tares are considered the Gentiles. There are going to be some Gentiles that are going to come in, and they're going to give up the way of the world and serve God. So if you take up the tares right now, you're taking up some Gentiles that later on will become children of God. So he's letting them all grow together, because we can all learn from each other, right?
Uh-huh.
And then, too, when the time of harvest comes, there's going to be a lot of, like I said, there's going to be a lot of tares that are going to go right along with the wheat. And we just can't say, well, let's go out there and get those, weeds and tares up right now, so the wheat can grow. No, because this is a world. Just like the wheat and the tares, they're planted in the ground. This is the way of the world. We all live together.
Uh-huh.
We all need to live together, get along with each other, live peaceably. There's a scripture that says we need to pray for those in authority, kings and whoever, so that we can live peaceably with each other. It's not my world, and you can't live here. No, we are to all get along together. All get along together.
Uh-huh.
Now, there's sometimes...
But on a different aspect...
Yeah.
On a different aspect of the wheat and tares, so it's not that the tares are the evil. The wheat are the good and the tares are the evil. The tares are come to try to take over. So the evil is just trying to take over like in our day and time. The evil is just trying to take over, and it's not going to work because they're going to be separated out. When the evil comes, they're going to be separated.
Yeah, right. But then, too, on the other hand, let's say I wasn't always a child of God. No, I consider myself as a tare among the wheat. God changed my life, and, you know, he didn't take me out. Nobody pulled me out from where I was at. I was a tare with the wheat. So now I'm not a tare any longer. I am wheat. Okay? And like I said, there's an opportunity. There's an opportunity for the tares to change their life over, because children of God, they're supposed to be living their life that is Christ-like. You know? Christ-like. Living righteously, living holy, you know, loving their fellow man, looking out for whoever's in need, passing along the word of God. You know, they call it the gospel of Jesus Christ. But for us nowadays, because I consider myself as a Gentile, but deep down inside, I do believe I'm a Hebrew. But
honestly, sweetheart, we are Hebrews.
Yes. I believe there's opportunity for everybody. When I lived in the world doing what I was doing in the world, I loved doing what I was doing, but it got to a point to where I got tired of me being that type of person. And I knew down deep inside that there was a better way. I just didn't want that way, and I thought I'd have to give up pleasure. I thought I'd have to give up having fun, going places. You know, I thought it was church 24/7. But it's not.
Uh-huh.
And it's not necessarily church. Church is where we gather to worship and praise God, and it's almost like getting received with seed, like you were saying, with seed, we're going to the church, we gather together, worship and praise God, we get strength, we get watered, we get fertilizer from the word of God, and we leave the church and we go out, we bear fruit. You know, we bear fruit after we leave the church. But the way the world is, I thought I was going to live until I got older, and I said, okay, I'm going to, I'm going to live. It wasn't no God willing. I'm still living. I was going to live until about 80. Then I was going to join the church and stop doing what I was doing. But see, God had other plans because there was a seed already in me. I should have been doing what I was doing 30 or 40 years, But that season came around. It was time for me either to do the will of God or my days were more or less going to be done, I would be stuck in the world doing the work of the devil, and my future would be in the lake of fire, Yes, it would be the lake of fire. No place but.
Well, praise the Lord, Sister Moore.
Praise the Lord, sister. How are you doing, darling?
Praise the Lord. Praise God. I'm blessed. And I thank you for talking about sowing seeds, because we have to sow good seeds in order to reap good seeds. Because if we sow bad seeds, we don't reap those bad seeds. And people, a lot of times, people don't realize they're going to reap what they sow. Because if you always mean to people and always being evil, you're going to reap those seeds. But if you showing kindness to people and always doing good to other people, that good is going to come back to you. But if you're always doing evil to people, you don't have time to help nobody. You're always being selfish to people and never trying to give unto others as you would do have them to do unto you. That's what's coming back to you as well. But if you're able to help somebody else, that might not be that same person that you help, but somebody's going to help you on down the road too. But if you close your hand and never give out, well, who's going to help you? We're supposed to sow good seeds.
Amen.
Good seeds. And show kindness to people. Show love to people. Jesus said, have love one from another. You know, that's how they'll know that you're my disciples. But if every time you see me, I've got a frown on my face or I've got a harsh word to say to you, you don't want to be around me. But if I've got a nice, friendly smile or always a kind word, I'm sowing good. See, we're sowing seeds every day. When we out there around people, sowing good seeds every day. And people may not realize that, but you're sowing good seeds every day. As we're praying for people, we're sowing good seeds, praying for people, doing for others as we have been doing. Because as we're doing to others, we're doing it unto God. You know,
That's all
that we do in word or deed, we do it to the glory of God, you know.
Yes,
and
I do.
And God's pleased with that. And you do it from your heart, not for no show. You do it from your heart. And God is pleased with that. But every time you turn around, I'm complaining. I'm just always got to complain on my mouth. Always, well, how you doing today? Well, I just don't feel good. I'm just sick. I'm tired of being sick all the time, complaining all the time. People don't want to hear you complaining all the time. You need to praise God. I'm blessed. Have a good word to say sometimes. Don't always have something bad to say. Always have a smile on your face. So good, Steve. God, to God be the glory. God's a good God, you know. We are to sow good seeds. He wants us to. Because those seeds are coming back. Whatever bad seeds you sow, they coming back too. But if you sow good, my sister's son, he's out there in the public, and he deals with people, and he does things that helps people. And his children was going to be going to a daycare. And the daycare that they was going to be going to, some man that he helped, I don't know when, but anyway, the daycare that he had three children to go to daycare, and you know he don't even have to pay no money for them going to daycare after school because he helped that man somewhere along the line. See, God will bless
awesome.
You. You don't even have to know that you ain't doing it for nobody to bless you, but people will bless you when you bless them. And
exactly.
So you're just so good, Susan. Be kind to people. You don't know who God's going to bless you by you blessing someone else. But if you harsh
you know
to
Bible?
People. Yes, hey,
you uh-huh, you know the Bible
people,
says something.
Uh-huh. Go on.
Yes. The Bible says sometimes you may entertain an angel on the
way,
so you never know.
So if you do what God tells you to do, somewhere down the road, somebody going to be kind to you. And it might not be
uh-huh.
the person that you're kind to. But if you mean to somebody, somebody going to be hurtful to you. It's a verse in the Bible, I forget where it is, where this man owed this person a lot of money. And
uh-huh.
he begged that man. It was a whole lot of money. And he said, be merciful to me, and I'll try to pay it back to you. And that man, he was going to put him in prison and do all this, and it touched the person's heart, and he forgave him. But then he went
sure
out and somebody that owed him a little bit of money. He grabbed him by the throat and said, pay me all that you owe me. And the people that saw the man, where the man forgave him for all that he owed, they went and told the other man about it. And you know
uh-huh.
the man told him, I forgave you of all that you owed me. And he put him in prison and made him stay there. See, you going to reap
uh-huh.
what you came back on him. So, see, we have to be careful. Okay, brother, Deacon's going to read it. He found it, and he's going to read it. But, Sister Marvin,
okay,
you're doing a great job. I thank God for you.
Thank you so much, sweetheart.
You'll be blessed now.
Always, sweetheart. Yes. Always. You too.
Praise
yeah.
God.
Yes. Yes. To God be the glory. This is the book of Matthew and chapter 18. Mm-hmm. Chapter 18. Okay. Now, it's we're starting with verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take up his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Verse 28. But the same servant went out, found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant,
I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So in other words, if we don't forgive, our Father which is in heaven will not forgive us. It's just that
simple.
We can think we're going to get away with it. You know, like I used to, when I was a kid, I used to think, I said, well, man, the Lord, he's going to strike me down dead right now. And if he didn't, I thought I was getting away with it, you know. But it's coming up again. It's what we're told. And it does come up again. What goes around comes around.
Yes, it does.
We're thinking we're getting away with this stuff, but if we don't ask for forgiveness and put it under the blood of Jesus Christ, it's going to come back, and we're not going to recognize why it's on us, you know, and we're going to become hateful, you know, we're going to come probably blasphemous, you know, probably cursing God. Well, why is it happening to me? You know, this ain't supposed to happen to me. I'm such and such. But we have to understand that if we don't forgive, our Father will not forgive us, no matter what it is or how small it is. And it's the smallest stuff is the smallest stuff sometimes that trips us up. The smallest things we think nothing of, you know, and it comes back right at us and it's blown out of proportion, you know. Yeah, it's not a little splinter. It's a big tree, you know, and we just have to deal with it. It's life. But our Creator, he created us in his image. There's no sin in him. There's no blaspheming in him. There's no darkness in him whatsoever. We were made in his image, in his likeness. In his likeness, he is holy. He is holy. He is righteous. He is merciful.
Oh, yes.
He is great. He is compassionate.
He's just.
And yes, just. That's right. And we have to be that way with other people. And it's not that, well, they've been talking about Jesus Christ is coming back. You know, ain't nobody seen him, so we don't know if he's coming or not, you know. But we can't worry about that. We have to understand for ourselves that the word of God was left for us to live by. It's an example. If it didn't happen to you, it might have happened to me. So it's not everything in the Bible that is specific for us, but it is a guide. It is. And if we go through life and we try to live and learn by the word of God, we will see situations and circumstances in our life that are similar to situations in the Bible. Even though it was a long time ago, hey, there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing. Might be a different generation, but they know same thing, you know. But time is getting short, and when God gets his number of Gentiles fulfilled, it's over. It's over and done. You know, it's over and done. It ain't no last minute. It ain't going to be no last minute. Lord, forgive me. No, it's time of mercy.
The Gesture Room is up right now.
Yeah. We're living
this
in that
is
time
our
right
Gesture Room.
Yeah, we're living that time right now to where it's we need to make sure, as they say, our T's are crossed, our I's are dotted. Just like when we're in school, we make sure our paper is correct. No smudge marks, no erasures. You know, we make sure the spelling is correct. And then we can turn it in. And our lives exemplify that same thing. Our lives will show that we tried to do the best we knew how with what we were given. And the word of God is given to everybody, you know. So there's no excuse.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
So let me tell you that if people don't listen, if they don't watch around, most of the Bible is being fulfilled in this day and time. I mean, honestly, Jesus, I'm looking for a scripture right now, But I see scriptures are being fulfilled because the Revelation, it seems, I think it says, it talks about the, seven vows that's going to be taken out on earth, and the horse, on the red horse, where they're going to take away the peace from the earth, and people get killed and stuff. That's happening right now.
Yeah, it's happening. There is no love. Man's, what does the word say? It says, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, when something is waxed and it's cold, there is no feeling, no nothing in it. Nothing. Nothing whatsoever. Yeah. And we have to do what we have to do. No matter what my wife is doing, I have to do what I have to do myself. No matter what my children are doing, I have to do what I have to do. No matter what my pastor is doing in the church, I can't sanction my life by him. I have to do for myself because pastor wasn't born for me. You know, he was not born for me. And he cannot speak for me. So if I don't do it now, there may not be an opportunity for me in the next hour. It's not about tomorrow. You know, people are leaving here. You know, I was telling somebody real quick. I was telling somebody, I was counting up the so-called friends I had out in the world. There are six of them I used to hang out with. They are dead. All of them were older than me but one, and they are dead. And God, he blessed me with life and life more abundantly. He's blessed me with my health and my strength. He's blessed me to be have a sound mind. So, hey, I'm accountable for myself. You know, I can't make no excuses. I can't. If I don't do it for myself, I can't blame nobody but me when I'm in that lake of fire being tormented. Praise God. Praise God. We have another caller. Yeah, we have another caller real quick. Caller, do you have any comments? Or we have a couple of minutes. This is anonymous. You don't have to give your name or anything. Or you just listen. No problem. I just wanted to recognize you. Another call at 336.
Hi, yes. I don't have any comments.
Praise God. Praise God. Well, we thank you for your listening in. We hope you got something out of it. We're blessed.
Thank you, baby.
You.
I love you.
Love you,
we're
too.
We're blessed by you joining. We truly thank you. Join us again next Thursday. Well, possibly join us Tuesday at noon if you can. And if not, next Thursday evening, God willing. If I'm not available, I will ask Miss Margaret again if she would lead and guide on the program. Okay? We really appreciate you and thank God for you. Miss Margaret, would you like to lead us out in prayer, please?
I sure will. Most
thank
precious,
you.
Glorious, my Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be on this call tonight. Thank you for the duration. Thank you for guidance, and thank you for a message. Thank you for love. Thank you for honor. Thank you because you've been so great, so kind, so merciful, so loving, so true. I adore you. I honor you. I praise you. I thank you for everyone that joined us tonight. Thank you because it was a learning experience for me, and it was a help to me. I do appreciate being able to do this. So I honor you and I thank you. I praise you. My Father, I love you. And thank you. And touch Sister and Deacon. Please touch them tremendously. They need a real. I want you to do it in the holy, mighty name of my glorious, most wonderful, my Jesus. I love you. And for everybody that's on the line, they will tune in and they have tune in. I want you to touch each and everyone according to their need and help them to get to where they need to go. Lord, I ask you that you strengthen me to do more for you and help me to be more proficient and more demanding and more professional.
Yes.
Thank you for the opportunity, my Lord. Thank you so much
for
giving me this guidance and this goal. And thank you so much because you are so good, so kind, so merciful.
Yes.
I love you.
Yes.
I adore you and I worship you. in the holy and righteous glorious name of your glorious Son, my Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
And shalom, everyone. Shalom.
Shalom. Thank y'all.
Yes, shalom.